Hello, and welcome to A Woman's Heart with Lisa Granger, where we offer hope, encouragement, and real-life application to pursue the purpose God has put in your heart. If these stories touch you in any way, would you share that encouragement with a friend? People are much more likely to listen if they hear about it from a friend. So call, text, email, post, or talk about A Woman's Heart. Hope can be contagious, and it's much more productive. Thank you in advance for sharing and speaking of hope and encouragement. I received both from my conversation with Betty Ringeisen. Betty is all too familiar with devastating loss, with not one or two, but five miscarriages. She is real about the pain, and yet I couldn't help but feel the hope radiate from her. Betty believes that God is good and faithful, even in the midst of hard times. She is an author, speaker, and Bible teacher, and her greatest passion is to help others discover their God-given identity and walk in the freedom Jesus died to give them. Enjoy this conversation with Betty. Welcome to A Woman's Heart. We have Betty Ringeisen today. Did I say that correctly? Okay.
You did.
Yay.
Thank you, Lisa.
I know. We tried to practice that before so that I could try to say it correctly. Thanks so much for joining us today, Betty.
You're welcome. And thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. And I just look forward to interacting with your audience.
Yes.
Thank you, Lisa.
Well, I am happy to have you. And as I mentioned, I did finish your book, and we are going to get to that. But before then, I would love for us to get a chance to know you a little better. So tell us about yourself and something fun that isn't normally in your bio.
Something fun that isn't in my bio. Okay. Well, my secret ambition is to own a Christmas tree farm.
Oh, so, okay.
Not too many people know about that, but I talk about it quite a bit. In fact, my children at Christmas time, I think I need to stop talking about it because they buy me all these signs that say Christmas tree farm, and I'm looking for places now to hang them in my house.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Now, you wrote a book called Waiting for Jedediah. And there is quite the story behind that. So what is the story behind the story? Because I've not found anyone yet that has written a book just for the fun of it. There's always a reason behind it. So give us some of that background, please.
Well, I've always known since I was little that there was something inside of me mm-hmm. that wanted to be a storyteller. I opened the book with a story about my grandfather, and he was an amazing storyteller. So I observed how his storytelling impacted people, but I didn't know the Lord until I was older. So mm-hmm. I didn't really know what to do. I couldn't explain this feeling inside of me.
Okay.
And then when I was in fourth grade, I wrote an essay, and one of my teachers called me up, and she took a red pen, and she corrected the essay in front of the entire class. And I was embarrassed. I felt shame. And I remember walking back to my desk and thinking, well, I guess I'm not a writer. And so I gave up on that. But throughout my life, after my husband Donnie and I got married, I wrote a family Christmas letter every year. And our relatives and friends talked about what a great writer I was and how much they enjoyed my storytelling. And, you know, I didn't really believe that, but I thought, okay, well, maybe there's something in that. And when my kids got older, I went back to college and started writing papers, and my professor, I was doing this all online, uh-huh. and my professor wrote this note that said, hey, you're a really good writer. Mm. And I went to my husband and I said, I don't think this professor is a real person. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know how they're doing this, but he told me I was a good writer. And he said, Wait a minute. It's easier for you to believe that there's a fake professor than that you're a good writer. And I'm like, yes, because that's how the enemy works. He gets us to believe a lie about ourselves. And so I walked in that. And then finally, after we had gone through the loss of five miscarriages, I began to realize, wow, 1% of women walk through the journey I'm walking through. Mm. Maybe this is a story that God wants me to tell. And even as I look back on my journal pages from that season, there were chapters. I would point an arrow there. This would make a great chapter. I was writing scriptures and I was writing these things that here's how this would be great for the book. And I finally realized, oh, I've been writing this book all along since, before I was created, God placed this in my heart to write. And so now I've done everything else I could do to avoid writing. And now I'm finally embracing the author in myself.
Yes. So. Well, I am very glad that you did. And when you told that part of the story, I was like, sometimes we just don't know. And even as a writer, though, you know that it gets edited, that there's things to improve, and it doesn't mean that you're a bad writer. It just means that, you know, there's things to tighten up or improve on. And, you know, but it was had such an impact on you that even as an adult, because of that in fourth grade, and hopefully that was not at all the intent of the teacher. But we do. We take these things from our past, whether they be in childhood, from a teacher or a parent, and sometimes we latch on to things that, and then they just sit there and grow, and we then believe them as truth when there is no truth to them.
That's right.
Yeah. So I love how you were able to kind of go, okay, wait a minute. No, that part is not true. That was just an incident that happened then, and that is no bearing on my writing now. So I'm really glad that you were able to overcome that.
Well, God had to step into that lie. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to overcome the lie of the enemy. And I remember I was actually sitting on the Sea of Galilee, and this is years later, and I was sitting where Peter, where Jesus came, and he built the fire, and he fed the disciples after he was resurrected, and Peter was there, and our tour guides gave us time to just meditate in that place where Jesus was. And I remember God just seeing before my eyes, God opening books and handing me a pen and telling me, you need to write the stories I've given you. And so the first thing I did was tell my best friend who was with me, and because that's accountability. When God tells us to do something, it's important that we tell somebody else because they're going to hold us accountable.
Yeah, they will.
To the calling on our life.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, and I think that's a very important concept and principle that, when you tell someone, it does help us stay more accountable, because otherwise, you know, even if we kind of write it down in the back of a journal, it's easy to go, oh, yeah, well, never mind.
It's true.
Yeah. Even, and certainly if we just keep it in our mind, there's it's real easy to completely forget or just, no, not do it. No, I'll just ignore that. So what were some of the other things? You know, obviously you learned that you were a writer. What were some of the other lessons that you learned while you were writing this book?
Well, I think one of the most important lessons I learned is when I started writing this book, I had just come out of a master's program and I knew how to write 20-page papers on various topics. But that's not necessarily what I write nonfiction. So that didn't necessarily convey to writing books that people would want to read.
Yeah.
And so the first thing I did was I found a writing coach who helped me with the craft of writing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that's like an important step. It, step. If God's called you to do something that you don't know how to do, then go and find somebody who's doing it, doing it well, and ask them, hey, can you teach me how to do this?
Yeah.
And so that was the most helpful, practically, thing I did. And then emotionally and spiritually, what I learned writing the book is there's no expiration date on grief. And writing the book and remembering things that had happened 15 years ago was gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
And there were times when my writing coach, Deb, and I just sat and we were in a Zoom call and she would just let me cry because I was remembering the pain. But the Father showed up in those moments and brought a deeper level of healing that I would have missed out on had I not gone on this journey of writing our story down.
Yeah. And as I mentioned before, yours is a very hard story. It's hard enough going through one miscarriage, but to go through five. And you were very, very real and very raw. And I believe you're very authentic and vulnerable in sharing just how painful and gut-wrenching that was. I don't think you glossed over that or tried to minimize it at all. And you certainly didn't indicate that, you know, one day you were wailing and, oh, no, you know what? I love Jesus. Next day I'm fine. That it was a process and that it took a while. And because of the repeated, it kind of kept reopening the wound. But one of the things I really did appreciate is you don't leave your reader there very long at all. You mentioned you had bookends of hope on that. So tell us about that.
Well, I began the book with the vision that God gave me after I miscarried our first baby. God gave me a vision of me in a rocking chair nursing a baby. And he said, there will be more babies. And I didn't know what that meant, if this baby I was carrying was going to die. But it gave me hope that there would be more babies. And I would nurse one of those babies. That's what I saw. And I had to believe that even when things around me were saying that that's not true.
Yeah.
I had to believe what God said. And then I tell my story. And the story is my story, but it's really the woman who reads my book. It's her story. And I give her opportunity with each chapter to engage in the topic of each chapter and to write how she's feeling. And then at the end, I share a vision that God gave me when I was writing the book of our five babies in heaven and his promise that someday I will be reunited with all nine of my children in heaven and will never be separated again.
Yeah.
And even though it's always hard to be separated from our loved ones, but it's a short time in the span of eternity.
Yeah. And that is one of the things that I have heard from parents who have lost children. And I know one in particular, her ministry is called One Day Closer. And the idea behind it is, every day we are one day closer to seeing our loved ones again. And that means that we can still live with joy. It doesn't mean that some days aren't hard and that we don't miss them terribly while we are here, but that there can be joy and in the midst of the sorrow. And that if that's what we believe, if we truly believe that they are in heaven and they're happy and they're thriving and they're with Jesus, where there is none of this mess that's down here, you know, how can we, you know, yes, we're sad, but how can we not then look forward and be hopeful at the same time?
That's right. My babies are with the perfect babysitter.
That's certainly one way of putting it. Yes, they are. They are with the perfect babysitter. Oh my gosh. So, yeah. And I, like I said, I do love that you don't leave the reader there. And you kind of progress through, you know, you mentioned the different chapters, and you kind of walked through a process in the book. Tell us how you came up with that walking, and you share your story alongside of walking through the process.
Well, I believe that in the church, for I consider myself a Titus woman now, and so I think it's important for older women who have gone through these types of experiences to go back and to teach younger women, this is how you walk through hard seasons.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted each chapter to be part of a discipleship type book where it wasn't just my sad story and, you know, just feel bad that this woman suffered 5 miscarriages. I really wanted it to be a tool that women could use as a resource to become the women that God created them to be, no matter what happens to them, that there's an opportunity to go back through those seasons and to ask God what his truth was during those times, what he was teaching you, what he was trying to reveal about himself to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And even though I have not... I have not had a miscarriage, but I have had difficult seasons in my life, and I've had some very difficult losses. And part of that process that you walk people through, it's anyone who has had a loss needs to remember that even though you're sitting there going, why, I don't like this, this is really, really stinks, God, and I feel like my heart is outside my chest, just raw as everything else, that he is still there, and the real healing only comes when we give it to him. Even though at times that's the last thing we want to do because we're just so angry. I tell people that, you know, it's okay. You can be angry with God. You can yell at him, and he can take it. And he's not up there. He's, you know, I say, my God is not a wimp. He can handle it, and he can go, it's okay, honey, I know, it really hurts, and I'm still here, and I still love you. And to really be able to walk through that hard season and still be able to go, okay, I don't understand it, I don't like it, but I'm still going to trust you, and I'm still going to find my identity in you and not the label of, you know, a mother that's had a miscarriage or whatever, you know, somebody who's lost this or somebody who's been walked through that season, that we don't end up getting stuck as that in our identity.
Yeah, it's true. And those are we can read the Psalms. David, you know, David told the truth to God. The Psalm begins with, kill him, Lord, hang him up, you know, strip him of everything. And then there's this turning, but I will still praise you.
Yes.
And so, because David, he's our example. He was a man after God's own heart, and yet he had stuff in his life that was ungodly.
Yeah.
But he told the truth to God. And that's what I love about telling the truth to God and letting him know where we are in the journey. And that's something that took me a long time to learn. I felt like I had to clean myself up and then come to God. God was like, no, just come to me and I'll clean you up.
Yeah.
And I'll heal you. And that's what a loving father does for his daughters every time. And that's what we need to understand.
Yeah. And one of the other lessons that I learned was, okay, even if I'm maybe not talking very nicely, I'm still talking to him. And he's like, I can work with that. even if you're not happy, even if you're, you know, sad, and that as long as you're still coming to me, I can work with that. And so even in our sadness and our grief and our anger and all the other myriad of emotions that accompanies a hard season or a devastating loss, we can still take all of that to him, and he's okay with it, which is so comforting, so very comforting to me.
Yeah, that's right. And if we look at Eve, when the enemy came and he tempted her with a lie that God was holding out on her, and that's, you know, that was a lie that the enemy, through every miscarriage, was like, God's holding out on you.
Yeah.
He's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But and I had to rebuke that, because I had to remember that Jesus comes to give abundant life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
And those were the times where I had to go to God and say, God, it feels like you're not being fair. It feels like you're holding out on me. What is the truth? And in those moments, I realized that God was inviting me into a deeper level of intimacy, to know him, to learn that he's good, that he's faithful, that he's always pursuing us, and every act towards us is good and for our benefit. And those are the blessings that I learned throughout this journey of loss.
Yeah, and it is. It's a beautiful lesson. One of the things that I'd written down that struck me and was, it's the Hebrew word, and I believe it's pronounced hineni.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? And the definition was, I am fully here in response to you. I am connected to you, which I think of when Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And I thought that was very interesting, that it just, for that one stood out to me a little bit. I was like, oh, okay. Can you tell us how you came across that and how that touched you?
Well, I've always been interested in Bible study and looking up original words. And so I think that is important, because, you know, we have so many translations today. And when we read the English words, the Hebrew language is so much more complex.
Yes. I believe it's been referred to as a word poor language, in that one word can mean so many different things. So you really have to look at the context to truly understand more of what it's really saying.
Yeah, you do. And when you study those words and you connect to what God's really saying, then you come into this deeper knowledge of what the Bible writers were trying to teach us. And so it's so much deeper. And that's really being a student of the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's taking it and digging in and trying it, looking for that wisdom, seeking him. And Proverbs says, when we seek him, we find favor and we find life. And so I'm always looking for life, and I want to understand what God is saying, what it really means to be his disciple and to trust him and believe that he's good in these moments when it just feels like he's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we mentioned the bookends of hope. I'm going to circle back around to that. And there was a story in there about a green dress.
Mm.
I want you to tell us that story.
Well, my daughter, Jordan, was getting married, and my best friend was taking me out for a birthday celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to a restaurant, and it was connected to a mall. And so we had an extra hour. She said, hey, what do you want to do? I said, well, I'd really love to go in and just kind of look for a mother of the bride dress.
Yes.
And we only had an hour, so nobody, I mean, all my friends had said it took them forever to find a dress. And so we went in, there were a couple dresses I grabbed. I went into the fitting room. They were beautiful, but one of them didn't have a back. And I was like, well, this is a little too sexy for Mother of the Bride. And then there was this blue dress that I tried on, which I really love, but the last dress I tried on, because green is my favorite color, it was a green dress. And when I put it on, my girlfriend who was in the fitting room said, "That's the dress." And then the sales lady knocked on the door and said, "Do you need any help?" And I opened the door and she said, and my girlfriend said, "Isn't this dress perfect for her?" And she said, "Oh, green is the color of hope." And it, and I was like so excited because the dress was beautiful, but it was out of our budget. Mm-hmm. And so I put the dress back. We went to dinner, but the next day I Googled, the maker of the dress. I was looking for a coupon and I found one, but it was still pricey. But
yeah.
Then a couple days later, I was just in my quiet time, just talking to the Lord, meditating, and wasn't even thinking about the dress. And the Lord said, "You're worthy of the dress." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What? What dress?" And he said, "You're worthy of the dress. When you wear that dress, you're wearing hope." And that sales lady had spoke a prophetic word over me.
Yeah.
That green is the color of hope. And so when I wore that dress, he said, "You're wearing hope." And I still have that dress. I'm
Yay.
Still looking for another wedding.
I'm hopefully I'll get to see a picture of you in that dress. I can only imagine how beautiful it is on you. So I did. I really liked that story. I was like, "Yay, go God, tell her she's worth it. Go get the dress."
That's right.
Yeah.
I have a picture and I'll send it to you.
That would be great.
Social media.
Yes.
I think we're connected now. So
yes.
I'll send you. And if anybody wants to see the green dress, just there is on my website, I did write that story. And so if you go to my website, BettyRingEisen.com, and you look for the color of hope, you'll find a picture of me in the green dress on
okay.
my daughter's wedding day.
Wonderful.
And they can hear that story.
Yes. That I love it. I think it's great.
Great.
Well, if you could see, so if there was someone in front of you, what would you say to encourage them to share what God's placed in them, go after what God's called them to do?
Well, I would just encourage every listener, whatever God's called you to do, he has equipped you to do it.
Mm.
You have been given everything you need since the moment of your conception because God is a good father who loves you. And he never asks you to do something without giving you everything you need. So you just have to look to the Father and ask him, "Who am I and what have you called me to do?" And wait for his response.
Okay.
And I just believe that that's the way to encourage people is just mm-hmm. to point them to the Father for the answers that they seek. And he will answer all of our questions. He's good like that.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
We don't,
Amen.
He hasn't left us to figure it out. We don't have to figure it out on our own. He's given us everything we need.
Yes.
It's inside of us.
I believe that. Thank you. Thank you. And Betty, thank you for being willing to share your story and take some time out with us today. And I believe it will definitely touch some people's hearts and encourage them to walk closer and to just know that God loves them even in the middle of dark seasons and that he's equipped them to do what he wants them to do. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lisa. God bless you and everything you're doing. And I'm just excited to engage in further conversation with your audience. If they want to reach out, they can find me at BettyRingEisen.com.
Okay, great. We will encourage them to go there and track you down on social media and stuff too.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart with me, Lisa Granger. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Betty Ringheisen. And just so you know, I saw a picture of Betty in the green dress and hope looks fabulous on her. If these stories touch your heart, would you please share with a friend? We can all use more hope and encouragement in our lives.